Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What time is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Around 10 minutes into the second half of the Allianz League final yesterday, teak tough Mayo defender Porg O'Hara decided he'd had enough of David Clifford's fancy stuff in the Kerry forward line. Clifford had already clipped over 4 points at this stage when the cameras picked out O'Hara following his man on a bit of a walk, sledging him mercilessly while shoving him in the back for good measure. Clifford's response: to run his marker inside out for the rest of the game, laying on a couple of scores for teammates and kicking a further goal and 2 points himself. The best that could be said for Porg O'Hara's approach in this case: you got to try something when you're marking David Clifford. You know, you can't just stand there and let him kick points all day. But I'm afraid this particular approach might have backfired somewhat. Hey, Murph.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
Welcome, everyone, to Monday's Second Captain's Podcast. I was interested. Once I saw that, I thought, how's Clifford going? By the way, the ref booked both players for that. Now, there must have been something beforehand. Apparently, Clifford was mouthing at one of the Mayo players who was injured at the time or something along those lines. But it does strike me sometimes that referees take the easy way out when there's any sort of a scuffle by just giving a yellow card to two players, when oftentimes, even if you analyse why would Clifford want to be getting this involved with Porg? Like, it looked to me, certainly on TV, that David Clifford is trying to walk away for about a minute as this guy just keeps running after him, pushing him, mouthing at him and all that kind of stuff, and the odd time giving some back. But they both got a yellow card, I mean, that was that. Then the first time after that, the Clifford got the ball, I started looking at him even more closely. It's kind of impossible not to look at David Clifford closely when he's playing a game of Gaelic football. But the first thing he did was win a ball and unselfishly lay it off to a teammate in a better position, which was a bit disappointing.
That's not what I paid my money for, David.
Exactly, yeah. I want to see you take this guy. But then from then on, he decided he's going to make life very difficult for Porg O'Hara. Anytime he could take him on one-on-one, he eyed him up, he went for it. And it tended to do some damage, especially for the goal towards the end when he took him on the left and O'Hara could barely lay a glove on him and then finishes it with his right foot. So amazing stuff by Kerry Murph. Amazing stuff by David Clifford.
It really was.
Porg O'Hara. We'll regroup. He seems like a tough guy, so he'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, not every day is going to be like that, Porrick. I think it's fair to assume. I mean, the first point that you referenced there that he got, O'Hara did literally nothing wrong. I mean, there were a couple of other occasions where you could say, well, you know, foul him. But like, there's not a lot you can do with a guy that good, you know? Like, if the point he scored kind of in the immediate aftermath of the verbals and the sledging and the few pushes in the back and stuff like that. I mean, you know, even at inter-county level, if you give that shot to most guys, it's not the worst decision in the world, but it actually is with Clifford. Like, you have to expect that if he's decided he's going to shoot, you know, you have to just presume that he's going to put it over the bar. That's how good this guy is.
There was a moment in the first half where I think O'Hara had gone forward and therefore somebody else had to fill in and momentarily mark David Clifford. Clifford just gave that guy the old handoff, which he loves, the old rugby style handoff, which he's very good at, and just pings it over the bar. I didn't see anyone else, you know, putting their hand up for the task for the rest of the 70 minutes. It was just
it was a privilege to be there yesterday. I have to say, on It was
I saw a nice photo of you behind.
You weren't alone. You weren't alone. Yet again,
you were picked out by the cameras.
I attend a sporting event, and yet again, my phone starts beeping incessantly at a specific date or at a specific time in the game. And I usually know what that means if it's not, you know, in the immediate aftermath of David Clifford's goal. If nothing in the game has happened, and yet my phone beeps incessantly, then I usually. I know what's coming. Now, I would have to say
come on, in fairness, you look good this time. You look good this time. The last time you looked like a complete weirdo at the in your rain mac at that was it
like
Roscommon?
An orange flavored condom on. That's what I looked like in Roscommon while getting completely drowned at the Connacht semi final last year.
This time you look like it was just a very studious Gaelic football man in there. You're sort of in the shot I saw directly behind the Mayo management team. So no, you were looking so well done, Diarmaid.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to keep that up. Like every GA game I now go to, I have to like have a studied look on my face for the entire time that I think the cameras are rolling. So I'm not going to say that there isn't going to be another embarrassing moment of me, you know, lifting my shirt up, celebrating a Galway goal like Fabrizio Ravanelli. I mean, I haven't done that, but I mean, I'm just saying there's a chance that I might break that out at some stage and the TV cameras may well pick me up. And if that happens, well, I'll just apologise now in advance. But once I took my seat, I did realise that there was a slim chance that that was going to happen because I was, you know, three
right
seats
behind
from
there.
The front of the dugout. And you do get a pretty interesting insight. James Horne was left completely alone by his selectors. There was a little bit of a row brewing about whether his selectors were allowed out onto the sideline. And they came out for the second half and they were down there. But in the first half, they were kind of sitting on the opposite row to me. And it was just interesting to watch Horan, like, left completely alone. And maybe this wouldn't have struck me quite so forcefully if I hadn't been watching Galway Roscommon and had been positioned directly in front of the Roscommon management team. Because they kept up literally a non-stop chatter throughout the game. And much of it revolved around Conor Cox, the Roscommon corner forward, who managed to avoid getting taken off until I think like the 60th minute, which, and Conor doesn't know this. This is the thing. I'm revealing it to the nation right now. Despite the fact from about 15 minutes in, him being taken off was like a constant like hum of chatter around the Roscommon bench. Like literally every 5 minutes, it was like, will we take him? And then Conor Cox would kick a point and he'd be like, oh, well, we better leave him now for another few minutes. So I was there with a couple of friends of mine. And I was like, I can't believe that Cox is still out there. I mean, he doesn't even know. So that was actually a lot of fun. Just watching. See, it's not about how many points you kick. It's when you kick them on. When you're a quarter forward who looks likely to be taken off. You can buy yourself 5 or 6 minutes, maybe even 10 or 15 minutes, if you just kick at the right point at the right time. And that's what Conor Cox did yesterday.
That's interesting about Horan, because hasn't he in the past been criticised when Mayo have lost big games of not being proactive enough in the sideline and talking too much to, you know, there's these big sort of big group chats between himself and selectors rather than just go and make the decision. Whereas, so maybe he, I don't know, has he consciously gone another way or whatever it might be? Or maybe you're just overanalyzing a very small element of the match because you happen to be there sitting directly.
I kind of feel like, you know, the political pundit who travels from outside the Beltway to go to the, you know, the Iowa caucus and talk to three people in a coffee shop and decide, yes, this is what the state of Iowa is really head up about. The fact of the matter is, it was happening directly in front of me. Of course, on this being Mayo, there has been talk that, yes, James Horan doesn't talk enough to his selectors, or that, indeed, James Horan talks too much to his selectors, or that three or more of his selectors at various stages have not talked to James Horan for 68 months. So I would say that the truth perhaps lies somewhere in the middle there.
Funny enough, there was a notable shot of the Kerry bench at the end, and we'll stop analysing the body language of the various management teams, but Mike Quirk is in there now, our old friend Mike Quirk, and he managed to crack some gag that got a fair old smile out of Jack O'Connor, not one of the world's more you know, laugh out loud kind of characters, but even he was, this might be seen now as a slight by the Mayo people when they eventually beat
like Nicky English
Kerry
laughing
the
at the Clare Hurlers in the
1994 but Jack O'Connor was having a great time by his standards as well. He might, Murph, this Kerry team is absolutely brilliant, Certainly going forward, they're brilliant, and the, any defensive issues weren't really exposed yesterday by a poor enough Mayo team. So you're going to have to say, you're going to have to start answering this for me soon. Why isn't this Mayo, this Kerry team winning All Ireland's yet? Because really, they should be. What, oh, what's
if they don't win it
back?
This year, if they don't win it this year, oh yeah. Man, it's going to be, it would be a disaster for Kerry if they don't win the All Ireland this year. Because there's no one's at their level, really. You know, I mean, Tyrone beat them last week, sure, in a game, in a dead rubber for Kerry, that Tyrone had to win to ensure that they didn't get relegated. So, sure, fine. But, I mean, you know, at the moment, they have it all. But they also have, like, you can't get away from Clifford. You can't. This is the thing. We underrated how good David Clifford would be. And we've been talking about him since he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. You know, like, to not win an All-Ireland when you have David Clifford and you're not starting in Division 4, it's already a disgrace as far as Kerry are concerned. That he's 23 and he hasn't won an All-Ireland. Because he's even better than we could have imagined or hoped for. And I mean, I'm prepared to call it right now, he's the best footballer I've ever seen. So, I honestly, I don't think it's even going to be close. I mean, we were talking about the good wall, we reincarnated it for the live shows and all the rest. And yeah. It has been interesting to me that, you know, no Gaelic footballer stayed up there for any real length of time. You know, Colm Cooper was up, I think, a couple of times. Was Pat Spillane brought in once?
Jack O'Shea was definitely brought in at some stage, yeah.
But no consensus really has gathered around who the greatest Gaelic footballer of all time was. Sean Purcell, Mick O'Connell, Pat Spillane. Still, there's not really, in the way that, you know, Christy Ring was head and shoulders above everyone else, and now maybe Shefflin is on that kind of Mount Rushmore with him. Clifford will be that. Clifford will be the undisputed best Gaelic footballer of all time. And I, you know, there's, I like, he's just insanely good. He's, as Cullen O'Rourke said on the telly last night, he is redefining the possible in Gaelic football. So, I mean, the idea that they don't win the Ireland this year would
what
be such
a bottle
job. What does
that mean, redefine the possible? I saw Cullen O'Rourke say that and I thought, yeah, I think he's right, but I don't entirely know what he means. I just know David Clifford's really good at picking off scores from any range and making things look easy. You know,
I think what that means is that, like, you know, in the general realm of events, you can stop guys or you can push them into shots from bad areas, or even maybe more generally, guys that skillful aren't 6'3". You know, they're usually closer to 5'3". And that's like the only guys that are comparable to Clifford skill-wise are Canavan and Colm Cooper. And like they probably weigh combined what David Clifford weighs. You know, and that's what redefining a sport is. Guys that big can't be that good, and yet he is. So yeah, I mean, we'll have Ushin and Paul on the world, Paul Flynn on the world service tomorrow.
We will, Murph. Thanks for doing the promo bit for me there.
Yeah, because obviously there are a lot of questions around Mayo, even with all of their absentees. A lot of questions around Galway after losing the Division 2 final as painfully as they did to Roscommon. And you are scratching around for people who are going to give this Kerry team a game if they can keep that sort of level going, because for all the Clifford was brilliant, but I was really impressed by Adrian Spillane and Darragh Moynihan, and they're kind of two of the types of players that Kerry absolutely need, playing at wing forward but working everywhere. Jack Barry did a brilliant job on Matty Ruan, who had been the undisputed best midfielder in the country all during the league. Kerry people talking about all of these weaknesses that we have at midfield. And I can't see it at all. I mean, I think Jack Barry and Jeremy O'Connor is an exceptional young footballer. I think he has it all as well. If that's a problem area, they don't have too many problems. The goalkeeper was good. Mayo are the best team in the country at pressing the kick out. They failed really to put any sort of pressure on the Kerry kick out. So there may have been questions that Kerry people were asking themselves. It wasn't, you know, they know they have Clifford, they know they have this brilliant player, but they also had a couple of weaknesses or perceived weaknesses, and they might have been looking at that game yesterday as a potential game where they could find some answers to those questions. And any answers they got yesterday were very, very positive.
Yeah, no, I was impressed. They're great to watch. Like, it is a nice type of football. I suppose we'll have to see what happens in the championship. We'll talk to Ushin and Paul, as you mentioned, about that tomorrow, Murph. We're also going to be Well, there's a lot of big stuff going on this week. Champions League week, obviously quarterfinals. US Masters is on, so lots of live sport to keep us going. SecondCaptains.com, €5 a month plus VAT if you want to sign up. By the way, while I have you here, could you please, please keep buying tickets for the making of Where is George Gibney for 1 in 4. This is a big event happening on April 20th with all proceeds going to that amazing charity who provide counselling for adult survivors of child sexual abuse. It's in the National Concert Hall in Dublin and we want to fill the NCH for 1 in 4. We've made a good dent in ticket sales in the last week and thanks so much to everyone who has bought one in the last while or at all for that matter. But we've plenty more we need to sell. So please get secondcaptains.com or nch.ie and buy a couple of tickets. That's all we're asking, Murph. We're, you know, just a ticket for yourself and you'll probably want to, well, you can go by yourself or bring somebody along. And if a lot of people can buy ones and twos, then we're a long way there, you know.
Mark Horgan has personally tasked me with selling 10 tickets. It's pure GA Club Lotto efforts now. I have to sell 10 tickets personally or, I don't know, Mark will there will be some misfortune visited upon me. So, I mean, if anyone out there wants to contact me as they're buying them, I mean, I don't know if Mark's going to accept that, but I will... No.
Let's bring it my way. Promoting it on the podcast, and you have to mine some other source there, Murph, of potential ticket buyers. But as we're saying, it's all for an amazing cause, and who knows? It may be the end of friendship here between Mark and Murph. But that,
you don't want to do that. Come on.
No, we want tickets to be bought. All the makers of podcasts are going to be there, as well as the likes of Johnny Watterson, Gary O'Toole, and Trish Carney. Also, some of our members who are based outside of Ireland, believe it or not, have bought tickets themselves. They've made this incredibly kind gesture of buying tickets to support 1 in 4 and making them available to members who mightn't be able to afford them right now. These tickets cost €40 a pop. So if you'd like to go but can't afford a ticket, drop us a mail to editor@secondcaptains.com, or if you're outside of the country but would like to show your support, you can book a ticket or two and email your confirmation to us at editor@secondcaptains.com. We can then make sure they find a good home. This is a lovely organic thing that's starting to happen.
Yeah,
really good. So once again, thank you for your generosity and please do support this great cause if you can. And we'll fill the NCH for 1 in 4. Our members last week would have heard a really good chat between Jamie Wall and Malachy Clerkin teeing up the league final in the hurling, Murph, between Waterford and Cork. And it's, having watched the game, it seems as though Waterford have had a pretty perfect knockout stages of the league, given that they banged in a load of goals, 5 goals against Wexford in the semi-final. Having their star player Austin Gleeson sent off mightn't seem like a great thing, but as Malachy and Jamie outlined, it might be good long term in that clearly there's a message being sent out by management. They didn't go to bat for him. They didn't appeal it or anything like that. It was sort of like, suck it up, Austin, and don't do anything as silly as that in the championship. So he has to cool his heels and then watch the team play unbelievably well without him. So presumably he's going to be super motivated. They score another 4 goals, including two goals and 11 points by Stephen Bennett against Cork in the final. Good stuff.
Yeah, Nostradamus called it pretty much spot on. Yeah, Jamie Wall was fearful for Cork, and with good reason, as it turned out. Waterford were just a bit better than Cork in every section of the game, in every area of the team, and in every section of the game, Waterford were just a bit better than Cork, and that translates into actually a bit of a, you know, debilitating defeat for Cork 2 weeks out from the start of the Munster Championship. I mean, Waterford were so good. And that real thing that Malachy and Jamie were talking about last week, very much a Liam Cahill type thing, where his teams go for goals all the time. Waterford just went for goals and went for the juggler time and time again on Saturday evening. And every time they needed a goal, they were able to get it. And Bennett's obviously just completely playing out of his skin at the moment, but everything is going so well for Waterford. And when it's a county like Waterford, what that means is just complete wailing and, you know, counterintuitive wailing and gnashing of teeth that A, we've played all of our best hurling before the championship has even begun, or B, it's just a setup for like an even more humiliating fall from grace. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, it literally couldn't be going any better for Waterford.
The way the lads spelled it out, I didn't realise Liam Cahill was quite so highly rated. The way they were talking about him, he's just unbelievable. And the way that the that the analyst last night on RTE, Anthony Daly and
Liam Sheedy.
Liam Sheedy was on. Yeah, they were talking about the coaches, and that you could really see the imprint of the coaches that they have in Waterford, the backroom team there. It's really highly rated as well. That it was, it's really clear the type of hurling they're trying to play, and they've got a proper identity. They know exactly what they want to do. Whether long term it's good enough to beat Limerick in the championship, which is going to be the ultimate question, who knows? But they couldn't be in a much better place going into it anyway.
Exactly. And Waterford could play it to the absolute limit of their ability, and it might not, it's might still not be enough to beat Limerick. But the gap between Waterford's ceiling and Limerick's ceiling is a lot narrower than it was even at the end of last season. Waterford have just, they just keep adding players. You know, you see Tadhg Na Bhorka going back into the team at centre back and just playing out of his skin, like just so dominant. So much leadership, so much composure on the ball. Caelum Lyons coming back into the team for Austin Gleeson last week. Team doesn't miss a beat, missing, you know, the one of the most talented hurlers in the country for all of his foibles and faults. And that's the that's the really energizing thing from a Waterford supporter's perspective. It's not on Austin Gleeson, or it's not all on Ken McGrath or John Milan or Dan Shanahan, or, you know, the sort of the laundry list of flawed but extremely charismatic and unbelievably gifted hurlers that they've all, that they've brought through in the last 20 years. Like, they have that, but they also have 21 or 22 guys. Like, I was so impressed by Neil Montgomery and Patrick Kern on Saturday evening. Two guys who've kind of flitted around the team and have shown great promise and then have had poor games and not so great games. They were excellent in a national final, which is going to be huge for those guys. So it's all bubbling along so well. I mean, the only problem is that it's all going too well. That's literally the only concern. But honestly,
I don't know. Listen, Waterford. What do I know about being a Waterford hurling fan? But I would have thought I'd sooner be playing well and showing signs of what you can do over the championship than being in Cork's position today. Put it that way.
Of course. And you know, when you're Waterford, you know, national titles are not that common, so you go and you win them and you celebrate them, but then you also realise Tipperary are coming to Walsh Park. I mean, on form, Waterford should win that by 10 points, 10 clear points they should beat Tipperary by, and so that's the challenge. If they go ahead and beat Tipperary in that game, then they're off to a brilliant start. They've won their first game. Cork and Limerick are playing like 2 hours after that game throws in on Sunday week. If Limerick go and beat Cork in Cork, then immediately Waterford are in a very, very strong position. So for Waterford and Limerick to go on, as the form guide would suggest, and finish 1-2 in Munster. So they have to win that first game. So for all the celebrations that happens and all the rest, I mean, the season does still, it boils down to the next five weeks, and it's that alone really clarifies things for Waterford. If they win that game on Sunday week at home against Tipperary, obviously with a completely packed out Walsh Park full of extremely confident Waterford fans who are not afraid to make themselves heard, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. But Waterford can't even countenance losing that game. They can't.
Is David Clifford already the greatest Gaelic footballer of all time, as Murph has put out today? I'm going to put that to Paul Fidd and Oisín McConville on tomorrow's podcast. Thanks, Ciarán.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks so much for listening. Talk tomorrow, if you're a World Service member, of course.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.